And if you're enjoying him, just carry on, eh? Because he's not intimidated. He's not threatened. There's no reason we should too. But just to enjoy our Father, just to love him. Those musicians, could you just stand? If you were playing up here, could you just... I know you guys are... No, come. Can all the musicians just come up front here? Can I just ask anyone that feels like they've got the Spirit of God anointing, just love of God on them, just to come on and pray for these guys. Every time when there's ministry taking place, they're up the back there, fighting to stay focused. Come, someone stand behind. Someone just stand behind each person here, because I'm really... Quickly, someone stand behind each person. Oh, Lord. We just want to enjoy you, Lord. Oh. Oh, Lord. The love of God. Fill each and every single person now in the name of Jesus. Anoint them, Lord. Let them feel your presence, Lord. More and more and more and more and more. Lord, let them free. Right now, free any inhibitions, free their hearts, Lord. Bring your Spirit, let it manifest on them whichever way, Lord, that they respond to the most. We speak life and life in abundance over their lives. We give you thanks for them, Lord, that they serve so diligently week after week. But now we pray for an infilling, a baptism in your Spirit, Lord God. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Joy. Joy. Oh, Lord. Minister to these people. Fire of God on them, Lord. Fire of God on them, Lord. Minister to them. Love upon them. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. If anyone's got the interpretation of those tongues, I can't wait to hear it. Hey, Holy Spirit, just love your people, Lord. Love your people, love your people. Oh, man. It's okay that we minister to these people right now, amen? Let's just thank you, Lord. Waves and waves and waves of blessing, waves and waves and waves of joy, waves and waves and waves of mercy and loving kindness. Waves of refreshing. Waves of refreshing. Oh, Lord. Some of you are wondering what's going on. When you find out, let me know. Hey, the Lord's just loving His people in the ways that they want to be loved. Amen? We all need to be touched by God. We all need to be ministered to. And just as I felt like God just kind of saying, you've ministered to me, now I want to minister to you. And I felt God dance and celebrate over our, just enjoying Him, that He wants to flow in love and just minister to us in our situations and our needs and our desires and our dreams and the hopes that we have for our future. I felt like God just wanting to touch us and love us and minister to us. Lord, altogether beautiful one, may this never end. This love relationship with you, may it grow in intensity. You want to know what makes God happy? This right now is what makes God happy. His children enjoying Him and Him enjoying His children. He delights in His children jumping onto His lap and embracing Him and hugging Him and loving Him. And He in turn hugs and embraces and loves His children back. This is what makes God happy. This delights our Father. When we enjoy Him and He enjoys us, a taste of heaven comes onto earth and we embrace what is to come. We embrace what is to come. Something of heaven touches earth. And we realize that the celebrations in heaven are going to pale into insignificance to what we're feeling right now. In his kingdom. Effortless, 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 effortless. Effortless peace. Effortless strength. Effortless joy. Amen. More, Lord. You can see I left that one to last because I knew it was going to happen. Eh? But just enjoying our Father, just coming into a place of rest. For some people, you just need to lie down and enjoy Him. And say nothing and be still and know that He is your Father. For some people, they can't stay still. And the Spirit needs to express. The person's Spirit needs to express what's going on inside their hearts. And it manifests in what you're seeing here. Effortless, effortless, effortless. If you remain in me, I will remain in you. And in me, you will bear much fruit. The vine doesn't have to try and bear fruit, it just bears fruit. It's effortless. Effortless, effortless. Well, if anyone here speaks Mandarin, well, for those that are still enjoying God, I want you to carry on enjoying God. But I want to encourage you guys on what's going on, a bit of news in Singapore. Is that all right? I'm sure you guys are dying to hear what's going on with some of the guys overseas in Singapore. Who's heard anything with what's been happening? I want to hear. Can we get a microphone just to some of the people that have heard some stuff? Because you know what, Facebook's a great thing, but if you're not friends with those people that are going over, then you know, sorry for you. Kirsty, do you want to just come give some feedback to us?
Hi guys. A lot of my friends over there, as everyone knows, most of the youth have moved to Max Exodus over there. Anyway, they've had a really great time. They were hit. Most of the girls were hit with a huge spell of jet lag, so they were really down in the dumps the first day they were there. But yesterday they went to the church. They said that the youth there is so on fire, that they are so hungry. And they said that the youth are more on fire than the church, which is something new, which is like here, it's pretty much the same. Whereas there, they said that the youth are so on fire that they just outshine the church so much. And they saw a bit of Joseph Prince this morning. Though they didn't see much of him, though tomorrow they're going to see him, from what I understand. I didn't really get that one. And they went to the market there, the first day they were there, and they said that the place is just incredible. There's no words to describe how gorgeous the place is. And then they said that tomorrow they're going to this little island. It's like a fun fair island. I don't really know the place. But they said that they're going to spend the day there. Then tomorrow night they're going to go back to the church and just spend some time with the youth. So, yeah.
Cool. Anyone else? I got a little message here from Jamie. So I just wanted to kind of get different. You know, we get different perspectives. We get to see a little difference. He says, we've just come back from New Creation Church right now. That was this afternoon sometime. They've just finished their second service, and when your service starts at this morning, they'll be on to their third service of the day. It was awesome. They have 5,500 people attend each service, and that's 24,000 people that come to church every Sunday. And that's just the English services. Wow. He says, it's quite unbelievable when you see what God is doing here through this amazing ministry. He said, we've had to split the party of 20 into two halves of 10 per morning services. So Corinne and I were part of the first service crowd. And he says that Joseph Prince kicked off the year with Psalm 65:11. You crown the year with your goodness and your paths drip with abundance. What an awesome scripture. And he goes on to talk a bit about how they've had a meeting with some of their assistants. The assistant pastor, they went to the welcome lounge. They were so hospitable and welcoming. They gave us each a little gift with books and a sermon CD. And we gave them our Fusion CD, so here's Trusting for Influence. Oh, that'd be nice if they get paid to go over there again, you know, to go and play for them. That'd be lovely, yeah? So the other 10 are in the welcome lounge right now, and they're kind of taking shifts because of lack of sleep and flying. Most of us are shattered. And I can just, when he was writing this, I can imagine them all sitting up all through the flight, playing all the games behind the chairs and watching the videos and talking, and they get there broken, you know. Most people understand you're going to a different time zone, crash. When you get there, you're going to be thankful for that, you know. But such good news, man. And so I wanted to just pray for them this evening. We didn't get to pray for them this morning, so I thought I wanted to just kind of pray for them. And Lord, we know that you've ordained this trip. We thank you that you have fulfilled what you said you were going to do, and you've got them there. And we thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do with them there is even greater than the testimony of how you got them there. And so, Lord, we thank you for more and more and more things to take place in their hearts, in their lives, in their minds. Reveal more of the message, beautiful message of the cross of Jesus Christ to them. We pray, Lord, that as they hang around the youth Singaporeans, that they would something would be stirred up in their hearts of love for the nations, of just testifying to your goodness, of ministering to the people there. We thank you, Lord, that you would bless them, even when they're there, Lord. We speak to this jet lag that would leave now in Jesus' name, completely restored their bodies. And we speak to their bodies right now and say, when you come back here, there'll be no jet lag as well. And that you'll be completely restored and fresh in the name of Jesus Christ. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to take my sermon and cut it into many, many sections. Because we're not going to get to that much now. But I'd rather God just minister to us for preferably more in the future. It's okay to have the Holy Spirit just interrupt us and invade our space and just minister to us. Amen? I think you know, we have every opportunity to click on a download in a, and there's millions of sermons that'll bless you and feed you and encourage you. But this is rare for me, and I want more of this. I want more of the Holy Spirit just ministering to me and to us, and to kind of just see how He moves. You know, for some people He moves very quietly, and it doesn't mean that God's not moving on them any more or any less. Some people might be a bit vocal. It doesn't mean that they're any different or crazy. I believe God's a father, and He wouldn't let any funnies come in when His people are crying out. His children are crying out, Dad, embrace me. Dad, hug me. And so if my son was saying, Dad, come give me a hug, and some robber came in and slapped him on the side of the cheek, what kind of a father would I be? And so if you're kind of sitting here and saying, well, I don't know too much about this. This doesn't seem quite what I'm used to. That's okay. I think God, our Father, is jealous over our hearts. Jealous over our hearts. The point of where He's saying, this is just me. Anything else, this is my time with my kids. And I think if we understand the Father heart of God, if we see some things we don't quite understand, we can trust that He is our Father and that He is all powerful. Amen. Well, let's see if I can't try and get into this sermon. This week, I had one of those situations, and I'm going to be speaking a bit tonight. The title of my sermon is a solution to those situations, and those situations can be short span, long span. There can be, you know, you can be going through one of those situations for a long period of time or a short period of time, and those situations are—I don't really understand when people do this. There's two clawed finger kind of things. People used to do it quite often a while ago, didn't they? They were like, you know, they would use this often. They'd go like, I never know when's the appropriate time to use it, you know, or it got kind of annoying when people kept using this the whole time, you know, and it just got out of hand. I guess when the SMS thing kicked in, that people couldn't really say, you know, love you. You know, in inverted commas, you know, just when they finish off the SMS, no, love you, you know, did I do it wrong, Ronnie? Not. I'm sorry. But one of those situations for us was this. Michelle was busy doing cleaning up. My dad had just left, and she was cleaning up, getting the places right, and she picked up the computer to move it back, and the hard drive fell and hit the ground, and all our videos of our family, from our boys, yay high, to now, past tense, history. And so she got this sinking feeling of like, I've backed up every photograph, but I haven't yet backed up the videos. And so there was one of those situations of like, what now? You know, for her, it was the end of the world, because she loves videos and photographs. And for her, it was like, I can't believe this has just happened. How could God let this happen? The thing which made her a bit more irritable was that there was a big cushion right next to it, and it just missed it. So that was one of her situations. She's going, I can't believe that God would allow this to happen. Why couldn't you just the cushion over a little bit, or wait until it, you know, just hit the cushion? But it didn't. And so we're left with these things in our lives. They could be big things, small things, like, well, not so small in my wife's case, but for me it wasn't that big a thing. We can make a plan. We can get some kind of hard drive recovery system, or just pray over it. But I want to speak very quickly about some of those situations. First of all, I want to say that the disciples had some of those situations. Matthew 28:16 says, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, the mountain which Jesus had directed them, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Hey? Jesus had just told them, they've just gone through one of those situations, they've just lost their most loved one. And he goes and he appears to them and he says, go to Galilee, go to the place where we all started this off. On a mountain there, I'll meet with you. So now they've just seen him, they've just experienced him, the stories are spreading like wildfire. Jesus is alive. And so they walk to the place where he says, go meet me on the mountain. They get there after having witnessed this miracle of him being raised from the dead, this empty tomb. The testimonies are coming fast and furious that he is alive. He appears to the disciples and he says, go to this specific mountain in Galilee. I'll meet you there. And they get there. And they get there and some of them still doubted. I'm going, come on, man. Hey, how thick can you be and just live still? You know, you've seen all of these things. You get there and you still doubt. Jesus said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So go make disciples, and we know the rest of the scripture, teaching them all the things that I've commanded you to do, and I will be with you always, till the very end of the age. And so, we understand that doubt is one of the things, that tools of the enemy, that he would use to just rob the favor of God and the blessing of God when we sanction what he is saying over our lives. See, the Bible says that he is the father of all lies. John 8:44 says, you are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Doubting, its very root, its very essence, is the enemy saying, this is who I am. I want to cause you to doubt God's goodness, God's character, God's favor, God's direction and dreams and hopes for your life. And when you say yes to that, I can derail some of what's going on. Philippians 1:12, Paul's busy writing. He says, now I want you to know, brothers, now this is one of those situations that Paul happened to be in. He was locked up in prison. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. And as a result, it's become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I'm in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is this, that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I will rejoice. Yes, I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that in no way I will be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I don't know. And so while you sit there thinking like shame, poor Paul, sitting in prison, all chained up, he's given us a whole lot of keys here. And the first one I want to bring up is that he says right in the beginning in verse 12, what has happened to me has really served to advance this gospel. Because of my chains, more people are speaking about the gospel than ever before. And so when we say, what good could come out of the situation? And Paul should be out here, out of the prison, boldly proclaiming, boldly speaking this thing. Paul could do a much better message of speaking the gospel than what I could. He should be out here. What good could come out of this situation where he's locked up in prison? And Paul's saying, you're not seeing it with what eyes I can see it. I can see it that many of you are now preaching the gospel in more ways than one person I could. And because of this, you've been emboldened to actually go and speak boldly to the gospel message to those that don't actually know. See, we can also see that in verse 17 that people were stirring up trouble for Paul while he was in the prison still. He wasn't the flavor of the month. Not everyone was stoked that he was preaching the message of grace. So can I say this? Don't be surprised when you go around to someone and you're speaking the message of God's goodness and grace to them and they don't respond to, yay, can I have some of that? Maybe people are going to be a little bit indignant towards you. How dare you say that Jesus Christ finished it once and for all? Surely we should have some part to play in it. I do the right things. I say the right things. Not everyone responds to this gospel message. Trouble happens in so many ways and so many forms. He says here, and this is the key, in 1 verse 19, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. And I'm going to get into a bit more about that in a couple of minutes. But the finishing point of this is verse 22. He says, if I go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? What shall I choose? He had a choice. And he was left by kind of saying, hey, live, die. If I live, it's Christ. If I die, it's gain. What shall I choose? I don't know. You're kind of like he's got that deal or no deal, you know, quiz show kind of thing happening in the background there, you know. What will you choose? You know, I don't know. The box, the money, I don't know. I can see some of you guys are still enjoying God's presence. I can see you guys still smiling. Someone's still smiling at me. They haven't stopped smiling since this worship stopped. They're just like, oh. But Paul's saying, I don't know what to choose here. See, 1 Corinthians 10:13 says this, and I said it this morning. No temptation has overtaken you that is common to man. God is faithful and He will not let you be tempted more than your ability. But the temptation He will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. The scary thing is this. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says that you'll be able to endure it. Some situations you're going to escape out of. Some situations you're going to endure it through. I hope you're one of those situations that you can escape out of it. But there are some situations where the Bible's kind of saying like some of the things you might have to endure. But God's grace is sufficient. And I think that's the key. Is that when we realize that we're coming into God's kingdom, doesn't mean you get this ticket to everything is plain sailing. Everything's going to be great and cushy and you just enjoy the ride. Things are going to happen. but God. We get but God in the right place, we'll be okay. See, for me, the anecdotes for those situations is the armor of God. It speaks about Ephesians 6:10-17. I'm not going to go into it for time's sake. But it speaks about the belt of truth. If you want to know, he says there, if it wasn't for your prayers and the Spirit of God, I wouldn't be able to maintain what I'm doing here. So what are those prayers that he's speaking about? And I really believe it's this. It's the armor of God. And so often we've heard little nursery rhymes about little things that we should say about the armor of God. But do yourself a favor and go and have a look at it. And you'll realize how empowering it is for you to have that on. And I'm going to go into a little bit about how I actually pray for people now. But it's really based on this, a belt of truth. The belt of truth. We know what is truth. God said he'll confirm his word with signs and wonders following. That belt of truth is he's saying, when I pray for this person, I believe it's going to happen. Things are going to happen here. The person's going to get healed, transformed, their lives are going to be changed. Because you're wearing the belt of truth, you know with absolute confidence that that's going to happen because God will confirm what he wants to confirm. Do you know that I've seen more? I was sharing with someone this morning. When I was mixing law and grace together, I would have about a 65% average rate of people, what I'm praying for actually happen and help for people's healings and breakthrough in whatever situations they were. But since I've embraced this gospel message of the finished work of the cross, I've seen about 90 to 95% of the healings that I've prayed for take place. And it's just God just showing me, I want to confirm this message when you preach it. But it all happens with, because truth is truth for different people, you know. You can't like say, well, what's truth for you might not be truth for you. But when we come proclaiming this truth and we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, he confirms what truth he wants to confirm. Amen? Belt of truth. Breastplate of righteousness. I love this passage. I say it and I say it again and again and again. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might be the righteousness of God. If you were 99% righteous, 99% holy, because you're in Christ, you'd be like a little blemish. You'd be like, what is this? Jimmy, oh, come on man, let's get this thing out of here. We cannot be in Christ if we aren't as holy as Christ is. He made us 100% righteous. 100% holy. Holy mean, the word holy means set apart. Just as God is set apart, he has made us set apart. We are as righteous as he is, so that we can be found in Christ and he can be found in us. We are holy as he is holy. The breastplate of righteousness. The feet are fitted with readiness. Now that passage, some people say, I've been fitted with the gospel. No, it's been fitted with the readiness to do whatever God is saying. The gospel is part of that. The shield of faith. Faith in the character of our Father and the promises that he spoke over us and that he is for us. He wants to bless us. He wants to be good towards us. The helmet of salvation. The sword of the Spirit. See, I used to think that the sword was the Bible. Because that's how we got to go taught in Sunday school. You know, the sword is this. This is the sword. But if you actually go through that passage of Scripture, it says the sword of the Spirit. Now, you might use the Bible, but really, the Spirit is going through you and speaking out what he wants to do and say. I wrote down here, it says the sword of the Spirit. It is the Spirit that will empower you to use his words, what to say. Some of it might even be from the Bible. You know, there's life and death in the power of the tongue. Your tongue. Your tongue. Life and death in what you say. Some of it might even be from the Bible. See, Jesus every morning got up and he communed with God. And I've shared this before, so I don't want to spend too much time doing this. But he spent time in God's presence. And when we commune with God, sometimes it might be communion that we actually break bread together. We actually enjoy communing with God in that manner. But also communing with God is also just like prayers, just hanging out with him. This, what we did tonight, is communing with God. The people that have been ministered to tonight will not have the doubt that they might have had. Would have been washed away because they would know without a shadow of a doubt that he lives, that he is powerful, and that he wants to use them. So this time here that you see people just kind of, they don't need to be here theoretical kind of stuff. Just one touch of God, and they've got the absolute faith to say, in Jesus' name, move, and it will be moved. Jesus did that. He just hung out with God in the early mornings, communed with Him. And I believe God, this isn't written down, this is a theory according to Jimmyology, is I really believe that hanging out with God, Jesus would as He's hanging out to God, God would show Him stuff. God would show Him, say, check, walking on the water. And when Jesus gets to the storm, He goes, oh, this is it. I've seen this before. God showed me beforehand. Because Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father showing me. Hey, I only say what my Father's told me. So in the quiet times when He's just hanging out, He'd get prophetic pictures or words of knowledge or stuff like that. And when He goes, this is the time I've got to go and walk up on the water now. And there's no problem. This is the time I've got to go and raise the dead. I've got to speak to that storm. I've got to, because He's seen it all before. Just enjoying God and His presence. Things happen. And as he experiences God, there's no doubt in his mind that this is what he wants to do. God's will being done here on earth. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Bible says, on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. It could mean praying in tongues or praying in tones in some case. Just pray in the Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit manifest in you outwards. So how do I pray for those things? Because Paul was saying, through your prayers. Through your prayers and the help given by the Holy Spirit. He was able. It says there, will turn out for his deliverance. But you're asking me, so how do you pray? First of all, before I pray for anyone, before I get up to minister, I take time enjoying God. Just like what you see now, I just sit there during worship. I'm not singing a single word, but man, am I just loving Him and adoring Him. And do you know what? You know what makes me love God? Just looking around and seeing other people love God. Do you ever get that thing? You look around in worship, and you just see someone who's got this biggest smile on their face, and they're just so sold out for God. They just love Him. They can't believe what He has done for them. Man, I just look at that, and I go, wow! Come on, I love you even more. Hey? Before I even go and pray for a single person, before I address any situation that I'm facing, I just hang out with my dad. The second thing I do, is I don't tell God the situation. God already, He's actually more aware of the situation than you are, believe it or not. God, you know, this person hasn't got out of this wheelchair in so many years. I know. I've never left them nor forsaken them. I'm with them when they weep every night. I see inside their hearts desires. Here we are busy telling God what He already knows. You know, God. And what we're doing is we're just speaking stuff that just because we would like to hear the sound of our own voice. He sat with the lonely when they've been alone at night. He has wept over us as we mourn the loss of a loved one. He has guarded the weak when there was no faith left. He is our Father. He knows every situation, every dream, every desire. Every little secret hope that you've ever had for your life, for someone else's life. He has been nurturing that thing. We don't need to come to Him and kind of say, God, you know the situation. You know the story here. He knows. I don't go to Him and tell Him, this is the story, God. I'll give you a list of I don'ts. I don't ask Him to heal the person, to make them whole or to deliver them. I already know that's His will. So I'm not kind of going, so would you please deliver this person, God? Would you please heal this person? Firstly, I know His will is He wants to see everyone delivered, everyone made whole, everyone set free. I've got His will. I know His will. The next thing is that Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. So you go and do it. So Jesus said, I've got the authority, it's yours. You say anything in my name, it's done. So now it's up to me to exercise that authority. It's up to me to go and speak to those bones and say, be whole in Jesus' name. When I prayed for Daryl, when he had the helicopter crash in Belito the other day, I went in and I spoke to his body. And I spoke to his flight sergeant's body and I said, there'll be no repercussions in the name of Jesus, because he had just got that report that said he has to go for a back operation. And that he's got a hairline fracture in his spine and. And so I kind of just stopped everything. I said, this is what I believe. And I preached the finished work of the cross. I said, this is what I believe, in front of all the other people that were squirming, feeling slightly uncomfortable by the message of the grace of Jesus Christ. I don't care. He's going to do something here. I can't tell you how Daryl's just kept coming and saying, you won't believe it. I'm getting stronger by the day. I'm going to fly again. I'm going to go see the doctor. They're going to take another bunch of x-rays because they're saying, this is weird. Things are happening here and it shouldn't be. I'm saying, get those x-rays, bring them back. Put them up here on the screen, we can see. There's the fracture, there's a declaration, there's the breakthrough. We declare the breakthrough that God has already intended for the people to do. I don't ask him to bless my food. This is going to offend a lot of people. I don't ask God to bless my food, I'm sorry. Because the fact that he's provided it for me already says that he's blessed me with this food. I thank him for it. I say, thank you for this food. Thank you that it's so yummy. Depends which restaurant you're eating at. I'm kidding. My wife's food's also lovely. I don't go ask God to be with me because he's promised that he would never leave me nor forsake me. You know, sometimes we pray, God, please, as we're going down this place, would you just, God. He said he's never going to leave me, so why am I asking him to do something he already said he was going to do? I don't ask God to empower me because he has already given me the authority to make the changes he has told me to make. I say, Lord, give me more of your anointing. Give me more of your presence. But he can't give you any more authority than he already has. But what I do is I speak to the illness. I speak to the demonic. And I tell him to get out. I do thank him for the finished work of the cross. For who he is. I do speak to the elements. I've done that. I've got up this morning. It was going to be another hot day. I said, God, I want clouds over the church. I can't sweat it up there tonight. This morning. Do you know that I've actually gone and done this? I'm going to finish up right now. So sorry for taking a bit extra time. But with Ross Adams. I don't know if you guys know. Some of you guys might remember Ross. We were surfing the one day. And I went out. I said, come Ross, let's go there. There was no waves breaking down the one side. And we sat there in the middle. And if you guys know anything about waves, waves always break Where the heart of the wave is on the shallowest part of the thing. That's where the waves usually break. And I paddled out to where there's a deep section. There's a gully, if you want to call it that. And so we're sitting there, and it was just too many crowds, and we're just sitting and chatting, and Ross got irritated, and he's like, oh, man, we haven't had any waves. I said, watch this. And Ross will confirm this for me. If you really want to, I said, this is one of the things that he remembers the most about me. I got up and I said, in the name of Jesus, waves rise up. And I kid you not, when I say, at that time, you just woof, and these things started coming at us. And Ross's eyes just went, whoo. That wasn't an inferior covenant that I believed in. Mixing law and grace. I'm kind of saying like, hey, come on, man. There's got to be more than this. There's got to be more than this so we can address the elements and speak to the clouds and say, we don't have aircon upstairs for the children's church. Cloud cover right over our church the whole of summer. Amen. You guys look like you need some faith for that, but I've got faith for this. I do take the authority. It's been given to me. It's been given to you. And I want to encourage you. This week, this month, this year, is opportunities abundant for you to enjoy his presence. Let him reveal to you the little mysteries of what's going to happen tomorrow, or the next week, or the next day. While you're in his presence, your faith gets stirred up. Look at the finished work of the cross, the belt of truth, the righteousness, salvation, all of those things speak about the finished work, the effortless work that now lays before you. It's because of the finished work of the cross. That all you have to do is walk into that situation and declare to those bodies that are broken and hurt and say, there's an original blueprint for this body and what I see now doesn't match up to that blueprint. And that thing must come right in the name of Jesus. And you declare it. Don't ask, don't declare it. Exercise authority God's already given you. And I wanted to finish off this evening by people just that need some breakthrough in their life. And I'm going to close the service now, but if you need some breakthrough in your life, I'm wanting, because I really believe, I just felt faith just lift a little bit here. If you need breakthrough in your life, do you want to just stand quickly? Might be health, finances, whatever. whatever. Just stand. I'm going to close the service now. I didn't plan on 95% of the church standing up. Why don't you guys find, if you need to go, that's fine. Let's go. But why don't you guys look around you, find who's the prettiest, and get together with them. You know, if you think that no, they look okay, I can trust them with my situations and that. Don't even have to tell them what it is. Don't even have to tell them what it is. Trust God for a word of knowledge, for something to break through that'll encourage them, and you speak to those situations knowing what you know now. You don't ask God, please, could you maybe, possibly, perchance, see it in your way, you know, maybe declare those things. If the person feels comfortable with telling you this is what it is, then two or three, groups of two or three people, get together real quick, because this prayer isn't taking long. This prayer is a declaration of faith of what the finished work of the cross has already paid for you. Amen? So I'm going to pray for you guys before we get to pray. Is that all right? Let's close our eyes. Holy Spirit, you are leading us into the truth. For so long things have been a bit misty. As we've mixed law and grace, as we have tried to fumble our way around your love. I pray that it is the truth of the finished work of the cross that has paid for everything would so stir up our hearts that by faith we stand against those things that aren't and we speak to them that they will become. We speak to those mountains that they will move aside. We speak to the bodies that they would become whole. Lord, that is not by us mustering up faith, but it's by us believing in what you have already told us and revealed to us. So for every person that's praying now, let them give them the revelation of the authority that you have already given them, the power that you're already exercising over them. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. So I'm going to close the service, but for those standing, I really sense his breakthrough right now. If you have to go, go. But try and get into groups of two or three. The reason why I say two or three, because I just really feel like there's a smoothness with that. If it goes to four or five, that's fine. God knows what he's doing. But just look around you. God's not intimidated by us looking at different directions of the church. The Holy Spirit's still the same. And what you're going to do is you're just going to speak to those situations that aren't and turn them into the situations that are. So very quickly, let the person know what if you feel comfortable with it, and we'll speak to those things. I'll do it now.